So, welcome to today's podcast, where I'm joined by an international star for a change. It's Nick Ranger. Thank you for taking the time to join me.
Thank you so much for having me, Craig. It's an honour to be here. I'm so excited to be a part of your podcast.
As I say, a different language. Well, Aussie language is easy. We used to all watch Neighbours and Home and Away as kids in the UK anyway, so I'm pretty sure people won't have any problem understanding your accent. Probably still my accent that's a problem, but
you've got subtitles on any video portion of this, is that correct?
People keep asking for that, but I think my accent's quite clear, but to hell with everyone else. So you're based in Melbourne.
Correct.
And you are in Studio Hawk with Mr. Harry Sanders.
100%. It was really wonderful to be a part of his agency. We actually met because we were both shortlisted for the Young Search Professional Award in Australia with Sam Rush, and it was awesome. But he beat me. And I was like, you know what, like, I just, we started chatting and we were just talking about like different ideas of like, you know, the kind of stuff that we'd really like to see happen. And we kind of, through that, got a mutual respect with each other. And after a while, I was just like, you know what, not only are you a dynamically amazing SEO, you're also a really good human. And I'd like to be a part of that. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, Harry's story is
legendary.
Good one as well. So one day I'll get Harry on to tell his story, but your story is also good. Well, I'm probably going to make it sound a hell of a lot better than it really is, but
probably.
I've actually done a story with Ross Tavendale and how he came into SEO actually, and and he didn't come from a lot of money, but
no, from the bottom of a clam pot.
Yeah, that's basically the way I played it on the podcast. But we were on a Zoom call with someone else and they're like, oh dude, I didn't realize you used to stay with junkies and stuff. And it wasn't anything like that at all. So I've got a bad habit of making it sound like you've came from, you know, some swamp or something. So and I know that's not the case, but let's go into the story of Nick Ranger and how you've got here and what you do. So obviously you mentioned there you had this C++ background. You were a technical person 10 years ago. What was that you were doing? Was that a university or something?
Yeah, so I used to build robots way back in the day, and I loved it. And that kind of transitioned into my love of engineering. So I went to uni for that, and then started getting an internship into it. And then kind of like had like this epiphany that I was like, okay, I can't travel with this. Makes a ton of money, that's great, but I'm not like terribly thrilled. Like I'm not waking up every day like super excited. And maybe it was a little bit preemptive, but I just kind of was like, you know what, I want to do something different. So I thrust myself straight into being a professional electric violinist for pretty much the rest of my 20s, and had a wonderful roaring time. But then, you know, as all things happen, I made my way to Cambodia, did a couple of things there with teaching, and then made my way back to Australia, to Melbourne. And by happenstance, kind of like fell into, an opening, like junior SEO role, where it was kind of like, yeah, we like, it's SEO, but like, we want you to do blogs and just kind of do what we tell you and stick you in the back of the room. And, you know, we'll see what happens from that. And I just like, I'm a curious, am I allowed? No, wait, I probably shouldn't swear, but I'm a curious kind of person. Oh, all right. I'm like usually so PC for everything else, but I just wanted to check. I'm a curious fucker. I love to ask questions. I love to like know more. So I think like just me badgering like other people and just constantly Googling, constantly testing and trying to figure out, well, if that's so, then what about this? What about this? What about this? And I think if you like unravel it, if you fall down the rabbit hole long enough, you eventually like stumble onto some really interesting answers. And that's where I am.
It's I think it's people in my experience with staff I've had as well. It's people like you who are hungry for that bit more. It's not just, you know, giving them, sitting in the back of the office there and just churning out content. You could sit there for the next 5 years and still earn the minimum wage. It's people like yourself who are, you know, hungry, asking questions, or taking the common sense approach to be able to unravel more and find out how they, why are you doing the content? What is the purpose of the content? Can you do the content better? And obviously that's where the whole SEO thing evolves. But, you know, what I'd like to, obviously you were doing your music teacher thing in Cambodia, which is all good and well. You had this technical robot making background. End up coming into SEO. And now everyone's got a weird story of how they get into SEO. No one actually seeks out to be an SEO person. That's just neither stumbled across it or whatever. But what I think is quite interesting is that a lot of people I speak to think that SEO is something you just can't compete. You know, if you've got all these guys that have been in the game for 10, 15 years, you're never going to be able to compete, and they just give up and all that kind of stuff. But I think from reading your stuff, when you went into that junior role, you were very quickly went through the kind of ranks within the companies that you worked for. And obviously that comes down to your ability. But when you're doing this research, where were you learning? Were you doing online courses, or was it just pure research that you were doing on these individual tasks? So I want to know where you dug up all the information to then carry yourself forward.
Yeah, and I just kind of want to maybe like reach out to, at this point, like, you know, anyone listening that's getting into SEO for the very first time, like, it can be exceptionally daunting. And part of the reason why I wanted to kind of like share my experience with other people, because, you know, because of that experience, it was really, really hard. Like, if I was like my mentor self back then, you know, I think I would probably like maybe sit down with myself and be like, it's okay to not know things. And just take it one day at a time. Look, I think I started out like most people have done with the legendary Whiteboard Fridays on Moz. And that really will just kind of like, you know, just pop up like interesting topics and different facets of like SEO concepts that with long enough, like if you're generally interested, then you'll kind of like start to like see how the whole thing pieces together. I think when I really think about SEO, it's kind of boiled down to like three main things. It's like, it's content, it's technical SEO, and it's backlinks. So really, that's like, if you can explain something simply, I think then you kind of like get a good grasp of it. And if you can't do that, then you probably don't. So if you're able to take large concepts and then kind of like boil them down to like, you know, the very, very bare bones of what it is, then you're going the right way.
Mm-hmm. So when you started out in the first agency that you were at, let me get the name again, Predica or Predicta. yeah, that's a weird name.
Predictor. Yeah. Look, Clayton Cross, the CEO and founder, is a terrific human. He really took me under his wing and just kind of let me go and roam free amongst the clients that we had. And it was just like, okay, well, you know, I'll give you some tasks, like, you know, write some blogs, do title tags, do meta descriptions. And then every now and then he'd be like, oh yeah, can you figure out why this isn't ranking? Or can you submit a sitemap? Or, you know, just kind of like remedial things, but not actually tell me exactly what it is, why I should do it or how to do it. And I think like kind of being thrown like constant curveballs, like I was kind of on edge all the time being like, what am I going to get today? Because sometimes I'd just be there like banging my head against the wall, especially in the early days, like trying to figure out different CMSs, like how do I do this? You know, you kind of realize even like across like multiple different CMSs, like the concepts kind of stay the same. And I think that's why like with a lot of, you know, webinars and podcasts and things like that, we're only really talking about the concepts because they are the same. But the way that you do them is like, you know, it's, you know, completely different. So, you know, that's that's really how I started like understanding things a little bit better. And I just really am so thankful that I had someone who kind of just believed in me, kept me on the payroll, and was just like, you know what, like, you have the things that I think is successful in any SEO, and that's perseverance, grit, which I think maybe are synonyms of each other, and you know, keen intelligence, and just like curiosity. And I think those are the real building blocks of any good SEO, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been in the game for many years.
Yeah, I think obviously from what I'm, you know, done research on you before you came on, and what is quite interesting is the fact that, you know, you're saying you've done technical audits, but you're also doing AdWords and stuff like that as well. Mm. And what I find isn't always the case now when you go into agencies or whatever, they normally pigeonhole you as the content writer or the technical person or the AdWords person. But for my own point of view, obviously, I've been a freelancer, I've built up an agency, I've done a lot of different stuff. I had to have a broad range of skills when I was a freelancer because, you know, just to earn money, I was even, you know, pretending to build websites, using website builders and shit. You have to become a jack of all trades. Would you say, obviously, the agency you were in, it would seem that the it was a kind of agency that would be quite happy to let you, you know, have multiple skill sets rather than pigeonholing you. And I think that's a really good thing for people to be able to do, not be the content guy, you know, just broaden it out, do a bit of AdWords, try it out and see what you like. Is that something that you would say would that really stood you in good stead?
I think there's like two answers for this. I think one is if you're in an agency and it's quite large and they do have different factions, just put your hand up and say, look, I'm interested to know more about this. Can I have an opportunity to either like try out an idea or research on your own instead, and just be like, hey, I've been researching this. I feel like I'd really like to have a little bit of practical experience. Can I just kind of like, you know, put my hand up and do the work? And I think anyone's going to be super happy if they can kind of delegate someone who's going to sit there and try it and try and try it until they get it right. So, you know, that's that. For Predictor, we started off as a 4-person company. And I think it's just, you know, by necessity of invention there, because there was no one else to do it. It's like it either gets done or it doesn't. And SEO is all momentum driven. Like if you stop doing it, then it will kind of just either like plateau or kind of like drift into obscurity. So you know what? Like it's really like you got to do the work. So whether or not you like you know how to do it or anything like that, it's just
it's irrelevant to figure it out. what I love about small companies, and I think it's obviously something that stood me in good stead, you know, having my own small companies, is you've thrown yourself in at the deep end and you just have to survive. Because I would say I'm a survivor. So, you know, if a guy came to me and said, I've got $5,000 for this, and I had no idea how the hell I was doing it, I would find out how the hell to do it while I was taking that $5,000. And I think that, you know, across for anyone I could possibly advise is try and get yourself in a smaller agency to begin with so that you do have that flexibility and, you know, on hand, you know, on you get your hands dirty with clients, and you may make mistakes, but I think you learn from those mistakes. But you didn't stay you stayed at Predictor for just about 2.5 years, 2 years and 9 months, and then you went on to Webfirm, and you were the head of that SEO division. So 2 years and 9 months into this SEO career, where you've went from being stuck up the back of the room to you know, doing a bit of everything, it's a short time to go and head up an SEO division. So what was that transformation like? Was that, because obviously you must have went into that particular company and maybe had guys that were in the game for 10 years, or was that not the case?
Yeah, so to like maybe explain like that kind of like hockey stick adventure. Predictor like started off with four people, but you know, in like what, 2 years, 9 months, I saw that company grow to 15 people on site and another I think 12 people off site, which is a huge exponential growth for any new kind of like startup company. So it was super successful, and I was lucky enough to work on their larger enterprise clients, like helping bring in quite a bit of money, and also kind of like seeing how processes were birth tested, failed, successful. And I think those kinds of things really, really sharpen anyone's teeth to understand like, okay, there's, you know, there's SEO, which, you know, is very much in your wheelhouse, but there's a business element to it that is a whole other different kettle of fish. It was like, that's something that's still like, I don't think like anyone, is like could be necessarily like refined in both areas without a lot of experience. Particularly why I love to ask questions, because literally there's like you can't do it all. But like, you know, going into that role at Webfirm, look, there wasn't really a SEO process that had like really largely been defined there, and it was kind of being done a lot by I guess like more like the development types and the admin types and things like that. So I really wanted to like strengthen that understanding and really kind of mature that offering. So, you know, with a lot of hard work, with a lot of initiative, that's kind of how that came about.
Yeah. And it's obviously a massive step up, more money, more responsibility and all of that kind of stuff. So it's obviously a step up. But when you went into that web firm company, obviously you were working in local, national, international stuff, yeah, e-commerce and everything else. But, you know, I'm guessing from what you're saying is that the SEO thing wasn't a big thing for them at that point. So did you have to build a team in there, or how did it go?
Yeah, so this is a little bit harder to answer, because we had a team that's kind of like were generalists, I would describe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, without kind of like going too much into it, what was really important was defining exactly what SEO looks like for every client, and every client needs to have their own their own strategy, because, you know, it's different types of businesses, it's different types of audiences, it's different types of technical problems. So every single one needed to have like a good understanding of, you know, technically what's going under the hood, what do they actually need, how much organic traffic is there, you know, what are the kind of audience, like what is the kind of tone, things like that, because we had content writers, we had a pay team, we had a social media team, and then we had like an SEO team. And it was really, really important for us first to define that, then basically train people, and then have like good communication with trying to explain that. And you know, like I was there for a year and a half, and I tried to really like do a like to do my justice with that. But at the same time, when you're studying anything from scratch, it's kind of like, you know, you will kind of like, it's a trial by fire. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say like that it was the easiest of times in my career, because it was just, you know, very, very new. And this is, again, why I really lean so heavily on the community to really reach out, ask questions, and be like, you know, like the business side of this, like the like how to price things, how to understand you know what needs to be done, like how to have like that development support and negotiate things, like negotiate like huge site migrations, but like, you know, to be in the captain's chair of that rather than have you know, to work within like Predictor's team that I knew so well, you know, was a really, really difficult process, and something that I thought like after a while, like, you know what, I think having more of like a generalist kind of, you know, idea, like doing SEO, but also being very aware of the channels that Webfirm had in its offering, was just a lot for me to kind of like consistently keep up and like keep at the level which I thought that was delivering good quality to our clients. So I was like, you know what, maybe it's like really, really important to just focus on, you know, why it is that I get up every day and I am so excited to do this work. Like, I'm so passionate about SEO. I think it's just the most fascinating thing in the world. And the more that I find out about it, it's kind of like this Pandora's box of things. Like, you know, in a spy movie, we can just be like, enhance. And like, the more I dig into that, the more I just get so excited. And I think like, you know, having the business hat on all the time is a very different type of role. So maybe, you know, being at Studio Hawk, I have like the freedom and flexibility to be a lot more technical, and to kind of like ask those kinds of fun questions. Well, you know, what if, like, you know, for a whole different scenario.
Oh, it's weird that you say that, because I kind of found a similar situation at a point in my career where I built up an agency and had a lot of staff, and I felt more like a business owner than a guy who just really liked SEO. And I felt that I was actually losing my ability to keep up with, you know, what's going on, what's new and stuff like that, because I was getting bogged down arguing with developers about a client's website that I really couldn't care less about, because all I wanted to do was make sure the client got a decent website so that we would get the SEO retainer. And I think if you are, you know, a hungry SEO person, and that is obviously something you're passionate about, that's why I chose to give up the agency life and focus on what I enjoy doing. And that was obviously stripping back clients. I do a lot of affiliate stuff, but it means that I can still do what I love, which is SEO, and hang out with SEO people and go to conferences and pick people's brains and learn and find new tools and automation and all of that shit. So it's strange to say that, you know, you went to being the head, which again, it's probably pretty much you were running the place like it was your own agency, if you like, within that company. And I think 100%. That's something I actually didn't enjoy too much as well. So nice to hear somebody else not enjoying that so much. But obviously, it's all part of the learning curve, and I don't think it's worth changing. It's good to try things that you don't like doing. But you were lucky enough to meet Harry Sanders. As you said, you were both nominated for the Young Person of the SEO Person of the Year or whatever it was. And you hooked up with Harry, you know, felt a good vibe there, and have been at Studio Hawk for the last 8 months. But what you know, what's the difference? What are you actually doing? Like, what would you say is your strong point in SEO? So you've mentioned that, you know, there's three main things: content, technical, and link building. What is, because you've obviously been in the game now for 5 years, and you, like, for me, I've always just been a link builder. That's always been something that I found fun, enjoyable, tricking people into giving you links and all that shit. You know, negotiating, haggling, I like all that, and it's fun. I absolutely hate, you know, I don't hate it, but, you know, technical is not really my bag. I've got someone else that does that for me, because it's just too fiddly and but for someone like you, I'm going to have hazard a guess that you, technical's your bag.
Yeah, you guessed correctly. I think, you know, like, if you go down the content route, it's a very human element. You have to really win people over, convince people, like, get into the psyche of the user, and really do a good job of communicating that to the decision maker. And that can be sometimes like a very challenging process, because it also, you know, they need to have confidence in you. And, you know, if you are kind of like tired or anything like that, it's sometimes like, you know, it can be a very taxing job. Whereas like technical SEO, it's like, here is a problem. There is different ways you can like potentially solve this. But, you know, there is a creative way that you might be able to like solve it. And I think like that is like an interesting puzzle in itself that I find truly, really, really rewarding. And it's kind of like I don't know, I really like how like ingenious all of it is, and also not ingenious, but it works. And I like to, that's where I get a lot of my enjoyment from.
Yeah, obviously with the background you come from making robots, I'm assuming technical SEO and doing stuff like that's a pretty much a doddle for you, because there must be, in terms of robot stuff, for a robot to even function, there must be so many little components within that robot that make that whole thing function the exact same way as a website. So it must be very similar, but probably late. What's more complex, a robot or the technical side of SEO?
Oh, how long's a piece of string? I mean, it depends. I'm going to give a very SEO answer and say, like, it depends. Like, what do you want it to do? You know, like, the kinds of robots that I would build were kind of, like, purely for fun and for, I guess, like, to save time or to do very specific tasks. So, you know, it's all logic-driven. It's like, okay, you're presented with an environment, and it will maybe, like, go through different sensors and things like that, and then you set the parameters of what they, what those sensors should look for, and then give a response based on the results that they get. And I think, like, that those processes and those logics, like, also kind of, like, translate quite well to a lot of, like, logic within you know, different scripts and things like that. I'm not saying that I'm particularly good at reading or understanding like code. Like, that's something that like you know, I'm still slowly getting my head around, but it's just more like, I don't think you need to. And I think, like, people like Aleta Solis, who kind of, like, says right off the bat, but, like, look, I'm not a developer. I don't need to be a developer. I understand what it is that the desired outcome, and I can see the problem, and it's within my capacity to find a good solution and then guide people through that process. And I think that's quite, that was such an empowering thing for me to be able to hear, because at that time, like, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm delving into the realm of technical SEO. I'm not a developer. If I look at a script, I can't really tell unless it's, like, you know, JavaScript rendering, mm-hmm. Something really quite intricate, but I can read a lot about it, and I can kind of, like, take things in smaller piecemeal chunks to try and, like, understand what it is, the desired outcome, whether or not it does that outcome based on, like, you know, a series of different tests that you can place those conditions under. And, you know, and then I, like, basically guide, like, people much smarter than I, you know, like, what we should do. Because I think, you know, for anyone who's listening, development people, you know, people who design websites, you can't necessarily assume that they have a good grasp of SEO. If everybody did, it would make our jobs a lot easier. And, you know, I think, yeah, like, you know, take that with a grain of salt. So consider that it's your job to understand what it is you're trying to do, and then, like, you know, guide people through that, which I think I just repeated myself, but yeah.
So as part of the, not specifically the Studio Hawk process, but your own process of when you get a hold of a website, is one of the first things you do audit it and clean that stuff up before it then goes on to content writers and stuff like that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, people come to us for very specific reasons. It's a very, very simple question of, like, why is this not successful? And, you know, success can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, why is it not getting a lot of organic traffic? Why am I not ranked for certain keywords? Why am I not converting, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to be able to give, like, a good qualified answer, first you need to kind of, like, understand, like, okay, first of all, what keywords are you ranking for? Are there the kinds of keywords that you want the website to rank for and what you want to be known for? Does it have organic traffic? Like, is it actually, like generated its own traffic? And then, of course, like, you know, due diligence. sorry for people on the podcast.
I know what you mean.
you know, do a technical audit, really understand what's underneath the hood to give a good qualified idea of what are the inhibitors. Like, I think that's like the best way to start.
And what tools does someone like yourself use? I know it's probably going to be the same tools that everyone else does use, but I'm always curious because there might be something weird in your process that no one's heard of. So what are your go-to tools for technical?
100%. I think I will probably be reiterating a lot of other people's tools. SEMrush is a favorite one. Not biased, not sponsored. I know I do a lot of webinars with them, but that really was kind of born out of like a fandom of just approaching them in real life and just being like, hey, you do some really cool stuff. Keep doing it. And that's kind of where it came from. It gives a really good idea, but it kind of gives you like a good general idea about what's happening. You've got the site audit tool, which is phenomenal. You can get like a great, very basic understanding of the organic traffic going to the website. The other one that I absolutely love is Screaming Frog. For more granularity, I love, pay for the tool because that API integration is kind of next level. You can crawl your entire website. You can plug in your API with Screaming Frog, Google Analytics, and you can see for every single URL, based on a period of time, like how many users, how many sessions, average time on a page, like if you're interested in those kind of behavioral statistics, what's been happening with every single one of those pages. And you can then kind of rank them, like have a bit of a priority list of like from the worst pages that are like are just, eating up your crawl budget and consolidating what they are to your best performing pages and figuring that out. Great way to like see whether your internal linking is actually working as well. Ahrefs, I think, for backlinks, that's a really, really good one to be able to see the history of that, to see a little bit more granularity. I've got a host of Chrome extensions that are kind of like blaring on my screen at the moment that I love to use. Oh my gosh, Google Analytics, obviously. Search Console, obviously. Structured data testing tool, rich snippet testing tool. I'm gonna like end it there because
If you go on forever, I had a guy on the other day and I was like, show me your favorites toolbar, and he literally had like 45 different things, and I'm like, fuck, that was like cool to look at other people's Facebook ads and the audiences that they're going after. Mm. There was a tool for every last bloody thing. So
100%. Yeah. You could spend a whole podcast just talking and fanning out about like all the cool shit you can find. Like I didn't even mention Lighthouse, but my God, that tool is awesome and it's free.
Yeah. Nah, there's a lot of good tools out there. But as I say, I always ask the question because there's always someone that comes up with something new and you're like, what was that? They're all good industry, well-known tools that you're using. And finally, obviously what I want to talk to you about is your career going forward. You are doing a lot more podcasts with SEMrush. You appear as a speaker on them. You're now hosting some of that stuff as well. Is the plan to go into doing more public speaking, or is that just a kind of learning thing for you? What's the plan?
To be honest, I kind of like fell into it because I met in search marketing. I can actually almost pinpoint it to the day where that it was a massive turning point for me. I made a lot of really great friends when I went to Search Marketing Summit in Sydney. I met Nava Hopkins, I met Brittany Muller, I met Cassie Gillette, I met Jenny Halaz, I met Nicholas Stott. And just like, that dynamic group of female SEOs was like absolutely a cornerstone in my career because, like, not only, yes, it's kind of nice that, like, we're all the same gender and that's fantastic, but they're just awesome people and they're just brilliant. And it's kind of nice to see, like, someone that, like, is kind of, like yourself absolutely crushing it. So it was Nava who said, look, you're curious and you've got a big mouth. not verbatim, but, you've got an ability to be able to like share what you think And I think a lot of people are like either afraid to look stupid. And I don't give it. I don't care if I look stupid. I just, you know, like if you don't ask questions, then you're never going to learn anything. And I think just approaching that, it's just kind of like naturally just lended to more opportunities to be able to do these kinds of things. And yeah, it's really quite flattering that I'm known for that this now. But for me personally, like, what is more important to me is to keep asking questions, to keep being curious, but also learn from other people. Like, if you do actually stop talking and you know, listen to fantastic podcasts like these, or you know, other fantastic podcasts or webinars and things like that, and just listen to the advice that other SEOs give, like, they will drop little Easter eggs and give you those kind of aha moments that like will absolutely change the way that you do things and will make you a better practitioner in SEO, 100%. I feel like I'm living proof in that. So yeah. If you don't know, yes, you can Google and yes, you can test, and that's awesome. But your community is out there, and they're really, really nice. We're so blessed to have a wonderful community, and I feel blessed to be a member of that.
Yeah, no, it's right. It's a great community, but the important thing for anyone is being able to read between the lines, like you said there. People will drop bits of information. They're not going to lay everything on a plate for you, but you have to have that ability to grab that piece of knowledge and do something with it or test it or something. And I think that's what frustrates me a lot when I do podcasts or I do YouTube stuff and people are like, can you not just show me, like, straight to the point what you're doing? And I'm like, no, that's not what it's all about. I'm not giving everything away. You know, I'm here to help you and I'll give you as much good advice as I can, but I'm not laying it all out for you. You don't want a direct plate, so you've got to be able to grab those little bits. And as I say, people have got different processes, different tools, different everything, and it's been able to take a tool, like you say, Lighthouse. I might not use it. I may implement that into my technical process, and it may add to the process and make it even better than it already was. And it's just small things like that, taking a little bit from Nick, that a little bit from, you know, Nicola Staw or whoever it may be, or Alida Solis or whoever these people may be. And I think that's what I love about going and getting out and about at the conferences, is because you're still learning, picking up stuff. And even at the bar and stuff like that, at conferences, people loosen up over a few beers and whatnot and start to spill 100%. A bit more. So if you ever do meet Nick at a conference anywhere, just give her whatever she's drinking, wine or whatever, and try and extract more quality information. But sadly, Nick, we are out of time, but it has been a pleasure getting you on, hearing your story. One last piece of advice I want to ask you for before we go. So you've done all of this in 5 years, or just under, well, yeah, just about 5 years, I think it's safe to say, which is a remarkable achievement. If you could go back and change anything, would you? And if so, what would that be? What did you do wrong?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I think, oh, God. Okay, so I worked on 40 Winx's website. I'm really, really proud of the work that I did there. But I didn't really understand writing unique titles and meta descriptions the first time I did it. And there was like 40,000 of them. And I kind of like looked at that and I was like, you know what, there's only me here and this needs to be done. So I'm just going to spend every single waking moment just writing them. But I got lazy at one point and just kind of like copy pasted a couple of ones. And I was like, yeah, cool, that's great. And then had to go back, find every single one that was a duplicate and change it. And it, like, it, you know, I did this in my own time because I felt so shit. But that was just such an awful lesson to have learned, and I've never forgotten it. people, like, don't write duplicate shits because it will just come back and bite you in the ass. But yeah, that was awful.
How long did that take to resolve? How long did that whole process take, actually? 40,000?
2 months.
2 months? Fuck. That's horrendous. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're trying to, like, do other things in between it, it was just like, oh, my God. You know, when I want to feel a little bit like I'm going to die, I'll just sit down and try and, like have two screens open, one with the page and one with our little SERP optimizer tool that would have like the characters, and just kind of write them out, and then just try not like you like approach everyone with some kind of creativity. And it was just the hardest thing. And then doing it wrong and then having to go back and then like check it, it was just shit. Yeah,
that is painful. Yeah. That is painful.
Yeah.
But finally, if anyone wants to reach out to you, get in touch, or they're inspired by anything you've got to say and want to follow you, where is the best place to get a hold of you?
Oh my gosh, I live on Twitter, Nick Ranger SEO. I pretty much don't sleep. If you actually look at my tweets, it's kind of disgusting to get a good idea of my lack of a sleep schedule. So yeah, Twitter's great. LinkedIn, look, I try and check it every now and then. But if you ask me a technical question, I will actually sit down and try and answer you the best that I can without just being like, yeah, sign up now. Because, like, you know, we've all got questions. And, you know, I love to help people. This is why I'm one of the panelists for SEO Meetup here in Melbourne. Let's further the conversation. You got a question, I'm happy to answer it.
You may live to regret that, Nick. Thank you very much for coming on. It has been a pleasure.
You too. Thank you so much. I feel very honoured to be on the other side of one half of the Russian mafia. The SEO mafia.
The SEO mafia, yeah. Ross is starting a podcast as well, so you may also get on the other side as well.
Of course he is. Like, awesome. I'm so glad, because his LinkedIn vids are just legendary.
Legendary, come on, man. Before we go, give Ross an insult. See what you really think.
Oh, look. Maybe I'll be a little bit more vicious, like, but I don't know. Like, I only really kind of like know him through like this kind of formal process of like like a video as well. So look, until we're catching up, until we're having like a beer face to face, like I'm gonna keep it all very PC and just be like, yeah, I love anybody that's putting themselves out there and trying.
Cool. Fair answer. Fair PR answer. It was worth a try. But no, as I say, thank you very much, Nick. It has been a pleasure.
You too. Thank you so much for having me, Craig.
No worries.